Now, Ask Tina is back with Rathdrum Agony Aunt, Tina Koumarianos. Tina, good morning to you. Welcome back again. We've a lot of questions to get through for you, so I'm going to get stuck into it straight away, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
So, firstly, have a listen to this. I recently took out a car loan for my dream car, which I took delivery of last month. Not a big one or luxury. Last year, my boyfriend and I moved into a new house and have booked a holiday to see old friends in New Zealand during the summer. However, I've just found out that my contract will not be renewed and I'm sick with worry. Everything was going so well and now my world has crashed. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, listen, I know it's an immense shock. It happened to me, so I know exactly what you're going through. When you appear to have a safe, stable job and everything in the garden is rosy, and then suddenly it all grinds to a halt, and especially in your case with a mortgage, loans out, etc. But you must try not to panic. Try and stop and take stock. Does your boyfriend earn enough to hold the whole home scene together for the moment till you find something new? Because that'd make a huge difference. Look at what you're eligible for on social welfare, job seekers allowance or whatever. Try not to give up your car, because to sell now would mean you'd probably lose a hell of a lot of money on the sale. It's only a new car. Anyway, wheels are your getaway to freedom. And as my dear departed mother used to say, a daily in a car are the two most important things in a girl's life. I wish we were still in that era. But anyway, start looking for a new job straight away, and not necessarily what you've been doing at the moment. You can afford yourself the luxury of being picky when you're earning elsewhere. If you're lucky enough to be offered work doing something you would normally never do, don't shun it as unworthy of your qualifications. Instead, embrace it as a learning curve and an opportunity to experience something totally different for a change. And, you know, good luck. Remember, nothing lasts forever.
Absolutely.
Things will improve. It's just the initial shock is dreadful.
All right, now, here's another one for you, Tina. Dear Tina, my boyfriend of 3 years has just proposed, and although I really like him, I don't love him. Do you think you really need to love someone to marry them? Is that an honest question?
Yes, it is. Well, it does help to be in love if you intend spending the rest of your lives together and are not going to spend your time window shopping for what might have been. However, having said that, in some parts of the world, arranged marriages with no immediate love is quite the norm. Couples who may have met only once or twice marrying, supposedly for the greater good of both families, and of course the parents looking at, you know, their child going forward having a decent life. I do think you need to be part of that culture to blindly accept a loveless marriage on the off chance it'll work. Although often over time, real love and respect is formed from what originally started out with little expectation of love. But then that's a bit of a risk in our disposable wealth Western culture. Moving on, what if your fiancé really loves you and you meet somebody else later whom you fall madly in love with? Will you stay and feel bitter, or will you break his heart? It's a bit mean to deny him the chance of happily ever after with someone else from the get-go. Anyway... Sorry about this. This sounds like it's more of a project than a marriage, and only you know how committed you can be to this scheme. To me, it sounds a bit risky. Mm. You know, it's a long-term thing, and what if you did meet somebody? Let him marry somebody who loves him. Don't be mean.
Although she's going to break his heart by saying no, isn't she?
I know, but she's better now than half his house.
Yep, that's very true. All right, here's another one. Tina, I'm 20 years old and a great job and doing very well at college. A couple of months ago, I got really drunk, and recently I've had morning sickness and my periods are late. I'm too scared to take a pregnancy test because I can't even bear to think of the consequences. I don't know why I'm writing to you, because I know you can't help, but I can't discuss it with anyone else.
No, you poor thing. I feel for your predicament. I can't physically help you, but I can make a few suggestions that might help. At the moment, your ostrich approach, which is sticking your head in the sand and hoping it'll go away, that doesn't work. And unfortunately, in your case, it sounds like it might be a bit too late for that. I'm wondering, can you remember the lucky fellow's name, or would you rather forget it? My advice to you, if you do remember him, before rushing off to tell him or anyone else, take time to really think through what you want to do. Nobody else, you. Because it's you who are going to be the person looking after this baby, child, teenager going forward. It'll be your responsibility. So be very careful. Don't say nothing. You, for your own sake and possibly that of the babies, if you are pregnant, you must go and see your doctor or family planning clinic straight away to see if you actually are pregnant. And if so, what options are available to you? Because there are so many out there now, but time is of the essence. And the longer you leave it, the fewer options you have. Go on to the www.hse.ie website, where you'll find information on abortion, unplanned pregnancy, continuing a pregnancy, everything to do with family planning. Their number's 1-800-828-010. Also, the Rotunda Hospital have a free counselling for crisis pregnancy service, and the Well Woman Centre are amazing too. They were my go-to place for the pill back in the 70s when it wasn't readily available anywhere else. I know for most, an unplanned pregnancy is absolutely terrifying, but there is help out there. You're not the first by a long shot, and you certainly won't be the last. But only you can decide how you want to proceed. But please act immediately, as time for options will run out. And most importantly, this situation must be addressed from your health aspect too, and that of the baby if you are pregnant. You're going to have to move on this. This is not something that you can decide you don't want to go, you know. This won't happen. Mm. It's happening.
It's not going to go away.
No, it's not, this one isn't going to go away.
And finally, and quickly, Tina, yes. Unfortunately, because we're almost out of time. Dear Tina, my husband is going bald and is talking about getting a toupee. Do you think they look natural? I don't, and would prefer he didn't get one.
No, I have yet to see one that isn't very obvious.
I didn't even
obvious.
Think they still existed, to be quite
stop,
honest.
They do. Usually a tad too dark for the older man's pallor and worn at a jaunty angle as one would with flat cap. They're a bit expensive too. They're a bit like fillers on women who end up with duck lips, and you want I want to stick them to my car window. But instead of having the desired effect of looking younger and more interesting, they just look dull and nasty, more akin to roadkill, and I live in Wicklow, so I know what roadkill looks like. Anyway, it's inconsiderate to make people feel ill at ease, unable to talk to the face without one's eyes constantly wandering heavenwards towards the rug. Now, some of the best-looking men I know are lacking strands. And remember, bald men are supposed to be more virile, so get him to leave it well alone. If you're happy with it, he should be absolutely delighted.
All right, very good. They say bald men are better, that's what they're saying.
They do.
Tina Kumaranianis, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the morning show again this week. And that just about brings the programme to a close for this Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed it.